This morning, we're going to talk about a topic or a word that most people don't really like to talk about. We don't even like to think about it, really. That word is death. What fear this word promotes. Death. What doubt this word instills. Death, like a thief, can steal a life, can steal your faith. What finality this word speaks. Death, we all dread this word. We loathe its coming, yet it is coming. For many, it is already here, even though they live. Death. How many of us would view this word any differently, or define it any differently? I would hazard to guess and dare to say that not many, if any of us. So today we're going to look at this word death. We're going to dig a little deeper. And with the help of the Lord, maybe possibly see it a little differently. Now you're probably thinking, wow, what a negative message this is. How dreadful. Offensive, maybe even. You would be justified in asking that and thinking that way. Death is not a pleasant topic for us. It instills a sense of fear, a sense of finality, a sense of weakness, a sense of frailty, and a sense of unknowing. We have no control over it. It says that we are not here for very long, that one day we will no longer be in this mortal plane. It is associated with evil and with darkness. I do not blame any of you if you are feeling uncomfortable right now. And to be honest, I'm not entirely comfortable standing up here talking to you all about death. But it bears exploring. And it does demand our attention and our respect. In worldly terms, death is the final nail. It is the very end of absolutely everything. There's nothing else. There's nothing to look forward to. There's no hope of any kind, and there is no future. This definition itself gives birth to another line of thought that brings us to another kind of death, though we still live. How many of you have heard the phrase, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die? What exactly does this phrase imply? Depending on the individual, it could mean they can do drugs without any kind of consequence. To a young lady, it could mean giving away their purity without any form of consequence. To another, it could mean that they can hurt anyone they so choose, because it really doesn't matter. They're going to die tomorrow anyways. This seemingly harmless little phrase takes aim at our very souls, and its mission is to destroy it. It has been said that a dead soul is the final death. But wait, is it? You may be asking, what about the physical death? The physical death comes to us all. It is inevitable. However, the spiritual or death of the soul can be fought. There is a solution. We can be awakened once again to life and raised into eternal glory. But one cannot know this unless they understand what it is for the soul to die. Because it is at that point of utter defeat and darkness that something else may possibly happen. Here at the point of desperation, of total defeat, that place of vast and total darkness, that we may possibly hear a small, still voice say to us, as in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, I use the King James Version. It says this, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. But those who sleepest, those who have a dead or dying soul, know it not. For they are yet asleep in their belief that there is nothing they can do, that they control their so-called fate, that they are the masters of their lives, yet they know it not that they sleep, that in reality they control nothing. They are spiritually blind, spiritually deaf. They are without the love of Christ, without empathy, and without compassion. They are unkind and deceitful to everyone, including themselves. They are asleep. They are otherwise good people. By day they obey the law. They pay their taxes. They help little old ladies across the street. But by night they drink. They do drugs. They are invested in all kinds of sexual immorality. They practice every kind of evil under the sun. For tomorrow they die. They are asleep. The fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden is pleasing to the eye. It is bright and shiny. It has a sweet aroma. It tastes indescribably good. Heavenly, maybe. Yet to the ones who are asleep, little do they understand that this fruit is toxic. It takes no time at all to spread into the rest of the body. First to the eyes, then to the ears. It engulfs the mind and numbs the senses. It takes away the sense of taste so that one's thirst is never quenched. The stomach is always hungry. One can never eat enough. Asleep. It hones in on your greatest delights: drugs, alcohol, sex, money, power. They are never enough. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But they do not understand that they are already dead. Dead men walking, asleep. Yet even through all of that, there is a still small voice they cannot explain or ignore, and he is still saying, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Yet there's another saying of the world: survival of the fittest. This little gem leads one to be power hungry. They feel strong and powerful, but they're asleep. They hail themselves as conquerors, emperors, dictators, kings, queens, gang members, murderers, advocates for abortion, supporters and practitioners of unnatural relations. Asleep. They seek to destroy others to feed their lust for power, for their own twisted sense of might and control. It must comfort them very much to know that there is someone much stronger and more powerful than they, just waiting to devour them in the same way they seek to devour others. They have no hope, for tomorrow they die. The end. Yet even here, in this most perverted and detestable state of soul, a small, still voice is still pleading, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 to 57 says this: "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." So regardless of how vile and detestable all of the above sound, there is no condemnation for those who seek forgiveness in Christ. For even the most vile of offenders, there is the grace of God, sufficient enough to cover all of their sins. For those who are in Christ, there is no death. There is only life. For those who are in Christ, there is no defeat. there is only victory. For those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation. There is forgiveness of sins and a love that surpasses all love. Where, O death, is your victory? Excuse me. In Jesus crucified, there is no fear of death. For in the risen Son, there is only victory over death. Where, O death, is your sting? In Christ crucified, death has lost his sting, and we pour out contempt and revolt against his feeble, non-existent power. For it is in our Lord Jesus Christ that we are risen in victory. The shackles of sin are broken, death has lost his sting, and we have been set free. And that small, still voice pleads, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." In Christ, there is no slumber of death. There is no blindness of sin. There is no deafness. There is no numbness of the soul. For you are now awake. You can see. You have heard the voice of the living God. He has renewed your mind. He has given you a new soul full of compassion and the love of the Holy Spirit. You are raised from the dead into glorious light. That you may never taste the sting of death. You are now a child of God, born of the light of the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus Christ. Here then is the plea of the Lord to the lost, to the broken, to the grieving, to doubters, to those of little faith, and to those who are without hope, to those who hunger and thirst for love that is never ending, and to those who hunger for salvation. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He makes another plea to take heart and to not be discouraged in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 3. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on that which is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give your ear to me, and listen, that you may live. If you are tired and worn, if you are battle-weary, if you have a struggle of some kind, if you have fallen and have not the energy to get back up, God bids you today to come and find his grace. It will cost you no money. You don't even have to sacrifice anything. There are no conditions on it. It will only cost you a few sincere words. It only requires that you would ask, seek, and knock. And he awaits eagerly, lovingly at the door, that when you would knock, he would open the door, that you would enter, that you would go to his table and find the living water that is eternally quenching, that you would eat from the bread of life and be eternally satisfied. He waits for you. Jesus waits for you. He aches for you, that you would come and find your rest in his loving open arms, that you would delight in the richest of fares, the love of God. that you would breathe in his grace, and that you would awake and arise from the dead, and that Christ would give you life. Death is not the end for those who are awake in Christ. Death has no power over those who have been crucified in Christ. Death does not have the final say over those who are resurrected in the name of Jesus Christ. So really, there's no need to fear death. It is not the end. It is only the beginning of something far more glorious and eternal. So do not be afraid. For those of us who are awake in Christ Jesus, we know that he is with us to the very end of the age, and that we are promised that we will be with him one day in heaven for all of eternity. What could be better than that? In the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 11 to 14, the Apostle Paul here states, he says, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside our deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Awake and arise, thou that sleepest." So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your light. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your unending love that surpasses all understanding. I pray, Father, that if there is anyone here that is suffering, if there is anyone here who feels shame or guilt, if there is anyone here who is tired and weary and requires rest, if there is anyone here who is new, who is seeking, who is thirsty and hungry, Father, I ask that you fill them now with your living water, that they would no longer thirst. Lord, feed them with your bread of life, that they would never go hungry again. Father, grant rest and peace to those who are tired. Grant forgiveness and mercy to those who seek your face. Father, I pray that you grant comfort to those who are lonely and grieving. Father, I ask that you bless each one this morning, this coming week, with the presence of your love and grace, that not our will be done, but your will be done. In the name of our most loving and gracious Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.